praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preach the Sankirtan movement of love of Krishna throughout the entire world, and therefore during his presence he inspired the Sankirtan movement. Specifically, he sent Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami to Vrindavan and Nityananda to Bengal, and personally went to South India. In this way, he kindly left the task of preaching his cult in the rest of the world to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The members of this society must always remember that if they stick to the regulative principles and preach sincerely according to the instructions of the acharyas, surely they will have profound blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their preaching work will be successful everywhere throughout the entire world. Oma gyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutare svayam rupakadamayam tadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri jatapadakamalan shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So with your blessings and permission, I try to share some thoughts on today's verse, which is the most quoted verse in the whole of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ends every single chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita with this verse. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pode Jara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. Kaviraj Goswami is offering his obeisances unto Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Now one may wonder, what is the significance? There are six Goswamis, so why Rupa and Raghunath? Why not Gopal Bhatta? Why not Jiva Goswami? Why not the other Goswamis? So these two personalities, Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami, had special significance for Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Rupa Goswami, first of all, was the leader of the Goswamis. Although Sanatan was older than him, Rupa Goswami was said to be the chosen one, the one who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had specifically empowered with the deepest insights of devotion. And therefore, Rupa Goswami is known as the Rasacharya, the authority on transcendental mellows. And Rupa Goswami is known as the leader of the Goswamis. Rupa Goswami is known as the one who instigated and initiated the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore we say Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So like this, Rupa Goswami is known as the leader of the Goswamis, and therefore everyone who follows in that line is known as a Rupanuga. So Rupa Goswami is significant, specially significant for Kaviraj Goswami, because he's the leader, he's the one who started the mission. And Raghunath Das Goswami, why is he significant for Kaviraj Goswami? The reason is that he is writing Chaitanya Charitamrita only by the mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami, because Raghunath Das Goswami is the one who gave him all the information. In the next chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find out how Kaviraj Goswami actually came to this point of taking up this task. In short, as we know, Kaviraj Goswami was living with his brother, and one day a great devotee of Lord Nityananda named Miniketana Ram came to the house. And although Kaviraj Goswami's brother was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he didn't show much regard to Miniketana, who was a devotee of Lord Nityananda. So Miniketana was very offended by Kaviraj Goswami's brother's behavior, and he broke his flute and he left very angry. And Kaviraj Goswami could understand that this was a big offense. If you commit an offense to a Vaishnava, then everything is finished. So that night when he was going to sleep, he was in so much anxiety that, my God, a great devotee has been blasphemed in my home. I'm ruined. And like this, he was in anxiety all night. And then that night, Nityananda came to him in a dream. And Nityananda told him, Are Are Krishna Das, Na Karaha Bhai, Brindavana Yahataha Sarva Labhyahai. O Krishna Das, don't worry, don't fear anything. Just go to Brindavan, Brindavana Yahataha Sarva Labhyahai, and in Brindavan you'll get everything. So Kaviraj Goswami woke up the next day, and without even thinking a second thought, he went to Brindavan. And in Brindavan, he took up residence near Shyam Kund, Radha Kund. It said his bhajan kutir was right at the place where Srimati Radharani takes her midday bath, Manasa Pavan Ghat. And it said that those who have transcendental vision can see even Srimati Radharani today. So Kaviraj Goswami was there by the banks of Shyam Kund. And he was regularly associating with Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami had a lot of association with Swarup Damodar, who was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, Swarup Damodar had given him all the information of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had done. And therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami was a treasure house of information on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Raghunath Das Goswami gave all of that information to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And then he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, some debate is there over that issue, over who the spiritual master of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is. Some say Nityananda Prabhu. Prabhupada says Nityananda Prabhu. Others say Raghunath Das Goswami. Either way, the point is that both these personalities were the spiritual preceptors of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So that's why Rupa and Raghunath are significant. And here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking all about the importance of preaching. And what to speak about this purport where Srila Prabhupada is talking about preaching. In fact, this whole chapter is all about preaching and the necessity to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Today we may not say preaching, we may say sharing Krishna consciousness. People appreciate that more. Whatever you want to call it. Spreading this knowledge of spiritual life, this is what this purport is about. This is what this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is about. And actually, if we look at the whole book Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually all about the Sankirtan movement and spreading the Sankirtan movement. It's very interesting, when Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta, then of course he made many, many famous diary entries while he was on the Jaladuta. And we know that at one point in early September of 1965, Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta and he became very sick. And then in one diary entry he writes, I remember it because we did a play on this. He writes, Today the ship is plying very smoothly. I feel today better. but I am feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my Lord Sri Govinda, Gopinath and Radha Damodar. My only solace is Chaitanya Charitamrit, in which I am tasting the nectarine of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was on the Jaladuta, coming over to the West to begin his mission, he was reading Chaitanya Charitamrit, because this is the ultimate inspiration for sharing and expanding the mercy of the Sankirtan movement. So yes, Srila Prabhupada had that incredible preaching spirit, and now on Sundays we've begun remembrances of Srila Prabhupada in Prabhupada's room, so if anyone can come, 5 to 6 every Sunday. And last week we were watching Srila Prabhupada as he began the Krishna consciousness movement in America, which is an amazing story and amazing to remember. And every time you witness or hear about it or watch the videos, or it just becomes more and more incredible and inconceivable how Srila Prabhupada did that. But as we know, Srila Prabhupada came on the Jaladuta, and then he went to, first place he went to was Butler, Pennsylvania. And there he stayed with the Agarwals for some time. But then Srila Prabhupada decided that he had to head towards the city, so he went to New York, and the first place he stayed was in Dr. Mishra's apartment. And there he was staying in Dr. Mishra's apartment, and Dr. Mishra, obviously a Mayavadi yoga teacher, but had reverence for Srila Prabhupada. So at the end of every session he would do, he would give Srila Prabhupada 15 minutes. And he say, okay, Swamiji, you can chant for 15 minutes. He goes, but only 15 minutes. Time is going, only 15 minutes. And then Prabhupada would start and he would chant. And then Prabhupada would become so absorbed, and everyone else would become so absorbed, that it would go on for an hour anyway. And he couldn't do anything to stop Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was just transcendental to it. So Prabhupada went to Dr. Mishra's apartment, but this was like in the uptown New York. And Srila Prabhupada was hearing that actually you have to go to the downtown, to the Lower East Side. That's where the real spiritual seekers are, the bohemians, the acid heads, the potheads, the hippies. So Srila Prabhupada decided that he would leave the apartment, and the next place he went to was the Bowery. And well, what a place the Bowery was. Dark, dingy, cold, unfurnished, completely infested with rats. It said that for Prabhupada to get to his room, he had to usually step over 2 or 3 homeless people who were passed out in the corridor. It's explained that even one day Srila Prabhupada was walking to his room and he had to step over someone who had expired, someone who was dead. And they were just waiting for the people to come and take the person away. So Prabhupada was really in this place, the Bowery. It was just an incredible scene, that someone from America, just someone from India, such a refined Swami, would be in such a place. But Prabhupada turned the whole place into Vaikuntha, and there he was having his kirtans and his lectures. And one time a reporter came to the Bowery and was observing the whole scene and came to Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, Swami, do you know who all these people are? So Prabhupada said, no, I don't know any of these people. So then the reporter said to Prabhupada, well, what are they all doing here? Prabhupada said, I don't know. And then Prabhupada looked at the reporter and he said, I don't think they know either. It was just an incredible scene. I mean, these young hippies were looking for something, not quite sure what they were looking for. But with the Swami, with Srila Prabhupada, they found some connection. So like this, Prabhupada was preaching in the Bowery. And then of course we know that at one point, his the person he was staying with, who was regularly using LSD, threatened Srila Prabhupada, and it, you know, became a situation which was quite violent, and Srila Prabhupada decided that I have to move. So Srila Prabhupada packed his bags and left the Bowery, and he said, I walked onto the street and I didn't know where I was going to go next. but somehow with the help of Michael Grant, who later became Mukunda Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada moved into the 26 Second Avenue, and there he began preaching in his regular Bhagavad Gita classes. So like this, we see that Srila Prabhupada was very much rooted in the desire to preach and expand the Krishna consciousness movement, which really is the mandate for all devotees who are following in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made a very famous statement once, a statement which stuck in the hearts of all his sincere followers. He said to his disciples, "I wish that every tender, selfless-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood for the upliftment of the spiritual corpus of the entire humanity." So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said to his disciples, "I want you to shed 200 gallons of blood to try to help people come to Krishna." So, I mean, I did a Google search and found out how many gallons of blood there are in a human body. Anyone know? 70 liters. In gallons, anyone know? 8 pints a gallon. There's 1.5 gallons of blood in a human body. An average human body. I'm a little taller, so maybe I have a bit more. 1.5 gallons of blood in a human body. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, "I want you to shed 200 gallons of blood to help people." So that could take a few lifetimes. What he exactly meant by that, I'm not sure, but we can... safe to say he wanted us to work hard to share Krishna consciousness with people, rack our brains, blood, sweat and tears, to try to bring spirituality into people's lives. So Srila Prabhupada really took that to heart, and he surrendered to that instruction. And on Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's disappearance day in the 70s, at one point Srila Prabhupada made a famous lecture. And in that lecture he said, I had come from a different family than my Guru Maharaj. Who knew that I would come to his protection? Who knew that I would come to America? Who knew that all you American boys and girls would come to help me?" And Prabhupada said, "Nobody knew, because no one can understand the plan of Krishna." So Srila Prabhupada surrendered to that and gave himself, and Krishna made all the arrangements. So like this, to really preach and to really share and to really find ingenious ways in which people can connect with Krishna consciousness is really the duty of anyone who is following in the line of Rupa Goswami. And this is what's explained here. So here, Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that if we follow strictly in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the movement of Krishna consciousness will automatically expand. And it's interesting if we take some time to analyze how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began, developed, and established the Krishna consciousness movement. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then actually you see that there are three major stages in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the Krishna consciousness movement. In 1510, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. It was a very, very important year in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's said that in the month of Magh, 1510, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. In the next month, the month of Falgun, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri. In the next month, the month of Chaitra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And in the month after that, the month of Vaishak, in the year 1510, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his tour of South India. Now this tour of South India was to be a huge outpouring of Krishna consciousness. It would be a tour that would last for 2 years, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk for 4,000 miles around South India and come back to Jagannath Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set off on this trip, and almost immediately he began to electrify everyone he met, villages, entire communities of people with Krishna consciousness. The kirtan, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would pass a village, would be so powerful that people would just be completely captured by the transcendental energy that was there. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Patra patra vichar nahi, nahi stan astan. Je jane payatane kare prema dhan. That the Panchatattva did not consider this place or that place, who is qualified or who is not qualified. Je jane payatane kare prema dhan. Wherever they went, whoever they met, and whoever they contacted, immediately got Krishna prema. So it was a really inspirational time. It said that when the kirtan would pass a village, this is all explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that when the kirtan would pass a village, then members of the village would come into the kirtan. They said old men would just dance in ecstasy and jump high. He said that they would jump onto the trees and they would be dancing on the edge of the branches, and the branches wouldn't even snap. He said that young men would come into the kirtan and they would become so inspired that they would actually begin pulling trees out of the ground. It's explained that when the kirtan party went through a village, that people would go into the kirtan and then you'd never see them again. They would just go into the kirtan, into Nityananda's kirtan, and then they would just disappear. You would just never see them again. And then it said that their relatives would try to come into the kirtan to find them, and then they would also disappear. And like this, entire villages were disappearing into the kirtan of the Panchatattva. Amazing, amazing ecstasy, amazing spiritual inspiration. And like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled. He said that anyone who did make it out of the kirtan, they would go back to their village and would be so infused with spiritual ecstasy that their entire village would also become intoxicated in love of God. So like this, it was a wave of ecstasy, a wave of spiritual inspiration that was transforming India. And then finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri, and then we know they started the Rath Yatra. And even when they came back to Jagannath Puri, the kirtan there was also creating a wave of ecstasy and a wave of wonder amongst people. Prataparudra, who was the king of Jagannath Puri, when he saw the kirtan party, he was amazed also. Now, Prataparudra, he was a king, he was the king of Puri, he had seen so many kirtan parties before. But when he saw the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that was something completely different. In fact, he turned to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and he said, "Who are these people?" And then it's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrit, "Bhattacharya kohe, e madhura vachan, chaitanyera shrishti e prema sankirtan." Bhattacharya kohe, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya told him, "Madhur vachan, this is a sweet sound. This sweet sound that you're hearing coming from the mouths of these devotees of Lord Chaitanya, this sweet sound is not a creation of this world. Chaitanyera shrishti, this is a special creation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu known as Prem Sankirtan." So Prataparudra said, "This is amazing. I've never seen anything like this before." So everyone in Jagannath Puri was also just overflowing in transcendental emotion, seeing the Panchatattva there. About this time last year, I went to Kumbh Mela, which was an interesting experience. And I went to Kumbh Mela and I thought, okay, you know, we'll definitely be with the devotees and do all, you know, the Krishna conscious things we should be doing. But I'd also like to just, you know, go around and, you know, see some interesting things as well. Of course, it will reinforce my faith in spiritual life by meeting some of these mystical people. So I went to Kumbh Mela with these thoughts. And when we arrived in Kumbh Mela, the first thing we did was we went on a Harinam. And it's amazing because Kumbh Mela, as you know, is full of mystical people. Weird and wonderful and, you know, people who have all kinds of powers and siddhis and, you know, it's a very, very mystical place. But the amazing thing is, when the Harinam went out in Kumbh Mela, everyone was attracted. There were so many yogis, so many people doing so many different things, but when the Harinam went out and the devotees were chanting, that was special. It's so special that all the Shiva Babas, all the Naga Babas, every Baba you can think about, they also joined in. And everyone was just chanting and dancing, and you could understand that this Prem Sankirtan is something which goes beyond anything of this world. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So like this, the first stage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was all about spiritual ecstasy, spiritual inspiration. Incredible relish of spiritual life in one's own life, and then the natural outpouring of that, which is to give it to others. So this was really the first stage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Incredible spiritual inspiration. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent some time in Jagannath Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and spent 7 or 8 months in Vrindavan. And after returning from Vrindavan on the return journey back to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped at Prayag and at Prayag and Varanasi. And in these two places, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis respectively. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa and Sanatan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began the second stage of his movement. He had already showed the ecstasy, he had already showed the spiritual inspiration, and now what he'd done is he actually structured and organized the Sankirtan movement through Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. He met them, he taught them about the science of devotion, and then he gave them very clear instructions on what to do to organize the Sankirtan movement. Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prema Tatvira Udhar Vaishnavera Kritya Ara Vaishnava Achar Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prema Seva Pravartan Lukta Tirtha Udhara Ar Vairagya Shikshan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them very, very specific instructions. The first thing he told them, Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prema Tatvira Udhar. Write books, and in these books explain the tattva, the truth of devotional service, of love of God, of all the different processes that one should practice in order to achieve spiritual elevation. So the first thing he told them is write books. Then the second thing he told them, Vaishnavera Kritya Ara, Vaishnava Achar. Second thing is, through your example and through your dealings with others, show what the ideal behavior of a Vaishnava is and establish Vaishnava culture and etiquette. Then the third instruction he gave them, Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prema Seva Pravartan. Establish the Seva Puja, establish the worship of the deities, establish temples, and establish places where people can come and learn how to actually practice devotional life and worship the deity. Fourth instruction, Lukta Tirtha Udhara Ar. Excavate the holy places and establish them as places of pilgrimage where people can go to derive spiritual inspiration. And fifth instruction, Vairagya Shikshan. Establish what it means to be a renunciate and the activities and the character that one should have as a renunciate. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them very specific instructions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave all the spiritual inspiration, But when it came to the organization of the Sankirtan movement, then he handed over that task to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So organization and structure is also a very, very important part of the Sankirtan movement. Of course, we know the famous story where Giriraj Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada how the movement would go on, and different devotees gave different answers, and finally Prabhupada told them, organization and intelligence. So there has to be organization and structure in order for the Sankirtan movement to be preserved and expanded. Of course, sometimes we can be a little skeptical about organization. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj even himself said that a spiritual institution is a necessary evil. Evil because a spiritual institution, then there's dealings with money, then there's dealings with position, then there's dealings with power and influence, and these things can actually compromise the spirituality that one practices. But necessary, a necessary evil. Because without structure and organization, it's very difficult to preserve and it's very difficult to expand. And therefore, organization and proper management of the Sankirtan and proper management of the preaching is a very, very necessary thing. One time, Akshay Ananda Maharaj, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he was saying, Prabhupada, there's this problem and this temple's in financial difficulties, in this temple all the devotees are fighting, in this place, you know, the local kind of authorities are trying to crack down on what we do, and like this he was coming out with all the problems. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, so what's the solution? So Akshay Ananda Maharaj looked at Srila Prabhupada and he said, well, Prabhupada, I guess we just have to become more Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada kind of was a little disgusted with that and looked back at him and said, just see, another impractical solution. In other words, some proper management, some proper structure, some proper organization is needed. That's also a part of devotion. Even when Rida Ananda Maharaj took sannyas, then he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I feel truly liberated, now I can just travel and preach. So Srila Prabhupada was quiet, and then he looked back at Rida Ananda Maharaj and he said, travel and preach? So Maharaj said, yeah, I mean that's what sannyasis do, right? And Srila Prabhupada looked back at him and he said, no, you should be like me. In the morning I give the Bhagavatam class, and in the afternoon I go to the bank. In other words, deep spirituality, but also simultaneously very practical. And that's really what the Goswamis were. So, organization and intelligence and management, this is also a very much a part of the Krishna consciousness movement. So the second stage really of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was to organize and structure and create a proper proper movement that would stand the test of time, that would survive for many generations. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa and Sanatan, they went to Vrindavan, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travelled on and he arrived back at Jagannath Puri. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Jagannath Puri, and now he would stay in Jagannath Puri, he would not leave Jagannath Puri now for the final 18 years of his life. The first 6 years of these final 18 years in Jagannath Puri were very interesting, because in these years Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the third major aspect of his movement. In these years, these first 6 years in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to institute and explain Vaishnava culture. So if you read these chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Antilila chapters from 1 till 12 or 13, then in these chapters Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having very, very different interactions with different devotees, in which he's establishing what Vaishnava culture and what Vaishnava etiquette is. So certain devotees, He appreciates like anything. Rupa Goswami comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praises him for his humility. Sanatan Goswami comes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praises him for his Vaishnava etiquette and culture. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami comes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him and glorifies him for his obedience to following instructions. Govinda comes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praises him for his service attitude. And like this, through many, many devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appreciates them and explains the qualities and character that one should have in order to advance their Krishna consciousness. And then other devotees come and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrects them. So Prajumna Mishra misunderstands Ramananda Roy and discriminates against him on a superficial aspect, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises him. Vallabhacharya is showing pride that I'm better than Sridhar Swami. My commentary surpasses even Sridhar Swami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises him. He says, you are a prostitute because you are not following the acharyas. Chota Haridas has some casual association with the opposite gender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises him. He banishes him. Bhagavan Acharya has some taints of philosophical deviation and Mayavad coming in. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises him. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appreciating devotees, chastising other devotees, and through all of this, explaining what the culture and character of a Vaishnava should be. And we see even Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on culture and character, such that when someone asked Srila Prabhupada, how do you know who is a Vaishnava? Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman. So culture is so important. So like this, when you analyze the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you see that the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three major elements in it. The first major element was deep and profound spiritual inspiration. The second element was organization, structure, and proper intelligence behind how to expand the movement. And the third major aspect was culture, character, and Vaishnava etiquette. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the Sankirtan movement and showed through his pastimes that these three elements are the three elements which are vital for any spiritual movement to be vibrant. ISKCON as a whole, if we don't have these things, then it will break down. A temple, Bhaktivedanta Mana, if it doesn't have these three things, it will break down. And any group of devotees that come together to do anything to expand the Sankirtan movement, if they don't have these three things, it will break down. Spiritual inspiration, organization and structure, culture and etiquette. These three things are the pillars of a strong movement. And therefore, if you think about a car, then spiritual inspiration is like the fuel. Organization and intelligence is like good mechanics and bodywork. And Vaishnava culture and etiquette is like the steering wheel. So if you have someone on the steering wheel and you have a great car that works, but you don't have any fuel, then you're not going to go anywhere. So spiritual inspiration you need. If you have fuel and you have someone on the steering wheel, but the mechanics of the car aren't very good, sounds like a Mana Sankirtan car, then you'll start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Because the organization, if it's not good, if it's not strong, if it's not watertight, then you'll make improvements and then you'll just go back. You will not make any tangible progress. Therefore, organization, intelligence is necessary. And if a car has fuel and it has good bodywork and it's moving, but there's no steering, then you may take wrong turnings and you also may bang into a lot of things. So if there's no proper culture, etiquette, and a culture of respect amongst the devotees, then the movement also cannot go forward in a healthy way. So like this, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, the members of this society must always remember that if they stick to the regulative principles and preach sincerely according to the instructions of the acharyas, surely they will have profound blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their preaching work will be successful everywhere throughout the world. So, it's 8:30, and just to recap, so today I just explained a little bit about why Rupa and Raghunath are significant for Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. We talked about the preaching of Srila Prabhupada. And then what we discussed is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he established the Sankirtan movement. Step number one was deep spiritual inspiration. Step number two was organization and structure. And step number three was culture and etiquette and character. And these three things are what is underpinning the Krishna consciousness movement and the progressive expansion of the mission to save the world. Hare Krishna. So I take some questions. I think we have...